I was interested to see written on this, it's got Luke was here. Well, Luke's not here now. You see, Luke came and went, but God is always here. He's always been here. He is here now. He will always be here. God is faithful. He's always here for us. He's the answer to our every need. God is faithful. I don't know who Luke was, but God does. Isn't that great to know? I don't know if Luke is still here. I trust that Luke trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that wherever Luke is right now, he'll know that God is with him, and when life on here is on earth for him is no more, he'll be with God. Well, God is faithful. Oh, and I've got to put on my glasses. I nearly forgot. Okay, God is faithful. Well, we certainly live in a changing world, don't we? And it's a horrifying world of change, isn't it? I wonder if in other people's lifetime there's been the changes that have been in my lifetime. Times are a-changing. That's the name of a song by Bob Dylan. My boys like him, so I like him. I should say changing, because that's what he says. Times are a-changing. And I was reminded of this song recently when I was hanging out the washing. My sons forbid me to mend their jeans or T-shirts. And they are ragged. And I'm not allowed to mend them. Me, who won first prize in third grade for the best patch. And I'm not allowed to mend them. One pair of shorts, you believe this, one pair of shorts I could only hang by the pockets. That was all that remained intact. And I thought, well, times are a-changing, that's for sure. Bob Dylan in his song says that we've got to keep up or we'll sink. We'll be engulfed by the changes. Well, he's wrong. He's wrong. We will swim through all the changes safe and secure as we trust in our never-changing God. We will get through. He is always there for us. He is always here for us. He's the answer to our every need. God is faithful. In Malachi, you read, this is what the Lord said, I, the Lord, do not change. He is faithful. Humans, humanism, evolution, man's solution, whatever ocean, they can all war against God. But he never changes. His truth, his being, his love, his laws, his promises are always there for us, for you and me. He is the answer to our every need. He never changes. Let us cleave to the Lord who changes not. God is constant, unchangeable, faithful. James says there's no variation with God, no shadow, no turning, no shifting shadows. That's lovely to know, isn't it? This means we can always depend on him, always. He never fails. He's always there for us. He is all we can depend on. Have you realised that? What are you depending on today? God is all we can depend on. For everything else and everyone else changes and they'll disappear. This is what Psalm 102 and verse 25 says. In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens. They're the work of your hands. They will perish. I was going to say perish. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. God is constant and true. God is faithful. We're going to look at that faithfulness today. Defined, declared and displayed. We're going to look at it. This is what Jeremiah said. And that we had to sing that song, didn't we? That great is thy faithfulness. He said, it's because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed. In the fact that we're here, it's because of his love for us. We are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. His love for us never fails. See, the bottom line for love is love never fails. They are new every morning, his love for us. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithful in the Bible means steady, stable. So how can we define faithful? It's very hard. We just see a glimmer of it sometimes in the things around us. I said in my dog. Everybody else at home, you know, change like the wind, but not Archie. Whatever state I'm in, he's always the same. Always there to welcome me and be glad I'm there. Yeah, we see a glimmer of it, but true faithfulness is God. God is faithful, constant, unchanging, steadfast, steadfast in his love for us, keeping his promises for us, loyal to us, always there. Luke was here, but he's not here. God is here, always there with us, always fighting for us, always giving the victory for us, and he's worthy of our trust. He is true. Our God is dependable and reliable, and we can safely trust in him. And I just pray that each woman here is today safely trusting in him. If you're not, he is all you can depend on. Psalm 36 and verses 5 to 7 try to show us the bigness of God's faithfulness. Honestly, talk about blown minds. The bigness of God is so big, and words fail. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. That little chicken nestled under the shadow of his wings. So safe and secure. Yes, Jeremiah said, great is thy faithfulness. Now, you'd expect someone could easily say that when life was going along smooth, wouldn't you? But Jeremiah said it on anything but a sunshiny day. All the things that he prophesied in his book of Jeremiah, and he said this in Lamentations, but in Jeremiah, all those things had happened. And Jerusalem and Judah were all just devastated, both destroyed. And yet, this is what Jeremiah says, great is thy faithfulness. How could he say that? Well, for one thing, I think he decided things could be worse. If you look in that chapter, you think, that's a good thing to decide. Things could be worse. But this is why he could say it. Verse 24, he says, and this is in the Good News, this one, the Lord is all I have. Well, when things get destroyed all around you, you find that. But he's all you have, but he's all you need. The Lord is all I have, therefore I will hope in him, therefore I will wait for him. And in verse 26 he says, he will wait quietly, not quarrelling with God. Now, that's a challenge to us in whatever's happening today, to wait quietly, trust in him, not quarrel with him in what he's doing today. He knows what he's doing. Perhaps you're in the midst of deep sorrow. You know what Jeremiah said, and I nearly forgot to tell you this, but he said that he felt walled in and weighed down. Ever felt like that? Perhaps you're feeling like that right now, walled in and weighed down. And it's an awful feeling, isn't it? But this is what Jeremiah did. He decided to remember, and it was a choice he made, that God is faithful. Now, feeling weighed down and walled in, make that choice. Remember, God is faithful. He was always there for you. He will see you through. He is the answer to your every need. Fix your eyes on him. Trust in him. Surrender to him. Wait quietly for him. Do not quarrel with what he's doing. Sure, question. We're all good at that, aren't we? But take your questions to God. He has the answer. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah said that too. I'm glad Jeremiah was here. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he has for you. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Don't quarrel with what he's doing. He is faithful. Yes, the faithfulness of God is declared time and time and time again in his word. Cling hold of his word. It tells us all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. It tells us all the works of God are faithful. He is faithful in all he does. He keeps his promises. He's the same. He changes not. The plans of the Lord stand firm. All the words of God are faithful. These are all references, and I could give you where they're from, but it'll take time. They're all there in his word. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the words of our God stand forever. And we can stand on his promises because he is faithful. He is faithful. He keeps his promises. This is a little poem I found. He faileth not, for he is God. He faileth not. He pledged his word. He faileth not. He'll see you through. This God with whom we have to do, he never fails. Yes, the times are a-changing, Bob Dylan, but our timeless, changeless God is our God. He's our Father, we're his children. He changes not. Now we've looked at, in a fashion, God's faithfulness defined and declared, but now we're going to look in his word and we'll see it displayed. And just like his word was a love story, so it's a story of his faithfulness from beginning to end. He's the same. Hebrews says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. And I thought we'd take a look at our yesterdays, at our todays and our forever and cling onto his faithfulness. He is changeless. Steadfast, secure. Just the same as he was yesterday, he is faithful today and he will be faithful tomorrow. T.S. Eliot said this, and I thought it is a good quote. Christ is the still point of a turning world. Yes, everything else is turning, but Christ is the still point, the remaining secure point, never changes. We're going to look at the Lord's faithfulness, just skipping through the Bible. And we'll look at yesterday. And we'll look at his promises to Israel. Not one failed. Not one. We'll look at his promises to us today. And we'll see that not one is failing. Not one will fail. And we'll look at these promises for us tomorrow. Forever. Not one will fail. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. How are your memories? Are you into yesterdays? Well, I got a little bit of a thrill the other day. you know, I wish I didn't write it down, but I heard a lovely poem once, and it was about a lady old. And it was saying that people should look at that lady. Remember, a long time ago, she was the young lady tripping down the aisle. That in that lady there were millions of yesterdays. Precious, precious yesterdays. The first baby in her arms. All those precious things. It's good to look back on our yesterdays. Well, I was reminded of one of my yesterdays. I was walking sprightly to church and this truck with a truckie in it gave me a whoop whistle. And I thought, oh, I still look all right from the back. But can you imagine his shock when he saw the front? Oh dear. You know what Victor Hugo said? He said, the 40s are the old age of youth, but the 50s are the youth of old age. So isn't that good? Well, I can look back on my yesterdays, every one of them, and even before I was a Christian, because I can see his love and his faithfulness before I was a Christian, drawing me, putting me where I could hear, be told about him. I can look back on those yesterdays. I can look back on my yesterdays as a young woman, having given my life to the Lord and wanting to serve Him. I can look back on those yesterdays. I can look back on the day we carried our 7-week-old baby, our first one, onto a ship. You went on ships in those days, in the yesterdays, to Paris and then Africa. I can remember those years on that lonely mission station. We had nobody else. Nobody else, and I mean it. And in terrible situations, I remember His faithfulness. I'm glad for yesterdays. I can remember all the tragedies and the sorrows. I can remember the ones right now. He is the same right now as He has been for me in all my yesterdays. Great is Thy faithfulness. My weakness, my fickleness, my fragility, my whatever, He has remained the same. Perhaps in your yesterdays there were times of tragedy. Remember those. Remember those, but remember, bigger than those, was God's faithfulness to you, holding you, seeing you through, there for you, giving you strength in your weakness, proving in a million ways His love. Remember those. Recall those. That's what Jeremiah did, and it gave him hope. God's faithfulness yesterday, His provision, His strength in times of sunshine and shadow. Material gains, financial loss. Family ties, family feuds. Faithfulness of friends, faithlessness of friends. Fellowship and growth in your church, friction in your church. More than you can dream, disappointed dreams. Love and loyalty, loneliness and loss. All these swing and sway, but He's always the same and He remains still, constant, true. He's there for you. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday. Recall God's faithfulness. He never failed you. He was working for good. He saw you through. He was the answer to your every need. Well, yesterday, God's promises for Israel just heaps there. And this is what Joshua said in Joshua 21 verse 45. He says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Now you can remember perhaps all your Sunday school stories, or if you're a scripture teacher like I am, it's great because you're reminded all the time of God's great faithfulness there in the Old Testament and New. He kept every promise to the children of Israel long ago, to love them, to provide for them, to protect them, to assist them, to guide them. Now, some of the promises weren't fulfilled in that person's lifetime, but we've got the Word of God and we can see that those promises were filled later on. Some are still remaining to be fulfilled. They will be fulfilled in God's perfect time. God's faithfulness is perfect too. Peter reminds us that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. So we can't put a time limit on God, can we? But Peter does tell us too, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. We think it's slow because, well, our day is a day. But to the Lord, a day could be 1,000 years. Everything today is happening according to His schedule and according to His love. Do not forget that. And that's what happened long ago for them. He's the same today as He was yesterday. Moses tells us in Numbers that God never changes His mind. We change our mind, don't we? A lot. They tell us that it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind, and I looked up the word prerogative, and it means right. I thought, well, that's a good woman's right, and I'll stick with it. I'll change my mind and keep everyone guessing. God does never change His mind. He never keeps us guessing. He is the same. He's in perfect fulfillment, Isaiah tells us, in perfect fulfillment, faithfulness, in perfect faithfulness, God fulfilled marvelous things planned long ago. And Isaiah tells us, and look, we had the story in Scripture the other week. Or was it? I don't know. Anyhow, Elijah. Yes, it was. It was Elijah. God took a raven from somewhere and brought him, or ravens, to feed Elijah. God fulfills faithfully all his plans. He can take a little bird from somewhere and put him somewhere. That possum for Helen, that wasn't, you know, that's great. God did that. He showed that possum to Helen. It meant so much for us. God weaves and plans, and it's wonderful. Even bringing ravens to feed a hungry prophet. Isn't that great? And for Jonah, well, guess who's coming to dinner? Jonah, well, he was the whale's dinner, wasn't he? But God had a great purpose in that. And God had that great fish there, just there. Well, God knows even where the great fish is and where the raven is. God is faithful. Isn't that great? What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. That's Isaiah 46. In the Bible, we've got promises after promise God made. Now, in the Old Testament, that's the Old Covenant. What's a covenant? Well, it's an agreement or a contract. But God made it. Why did he make those? Because he was drawing mankind into a relationship with him, and it was all based on his promises to them. Not on what they were or who they would be or could be or would not be. They were all based on God's promises. And he kept them all. And if you look through, it's really great. And I wrote some down, but I'm not going to tell you them all because we haven't got time. But God promised Noah there'd never be another flood, that to flood the whole earth. And a rainbow reminds us of that promise. That is great. I love rainbows. I can even make a rainbow with my sprinkler in the garden. Do you like doing that? I do. And if you have the sun behind you, you can see a rainbow. Anyhow, and to the aged, childless Abraham, he made a promise which made him and his wife laugh, and you can't blame them. And later on, there he was, Isaac. And God kept all these promises. Boy, that'd be a shock for some. Anyhow, okay. Anyhow, let's carry on. Isaac, you know, Isaac hadn't even been conceived when God gave Abraham the promise that in a year's time, and it takes 9 months after all, but in a year's time, that baby would be there. God kept his promise. That is great. Jacob, well, when Jacob was lying down, was he, with that head on his pillow on the stone, God gave him a promise. Now, Jacob did a lot of lying. Jacob was not the best man around. But you see, God's promises does not depend on whether we tell the truth or are lying or whatever, or where we lie. God's promises are true. And he made this promise to Jacob. He said that everything he promised to Abraham would happen. They would have the promised land. The land would be theirs. Jacob was running off somewhere then. And then later on, what happened? When Jacob's descendants were slaves in Egypt, God heard their groans. And he was faithful. He took them out of Egypt. Remember the Red Sea and all that? Remember all that. And eventually you see, there they are in the promised land. There they were. There they are today. God keeps his promises. Despite disobedience, despite everything that we do, God keeps his promises. He is always there for us. He is the answer to our need. They were disobedient. 40 years. They wandered around in that desert because they were disobedient. God's love for them never stopped. His care for them never failed. He turned their desert into dessert. He gave them food. He gave them everything they needed there. Look, I got this from the Reader's Digest. I think it was the Reader's Digest. Anyhow, I got this from somewhere and it's really good. This man, whose name was Mr. Robert Charnon of Chicago, did some logistics about the Israelites wandering in that desert. 70 Israelites went to Egypt and they multiplied. And after staying there for 420 years, now he worked it all out. You believe me, there would have been 3,600,000 and one. No, I added the one. Each family would have had about 5 animals, and he estimated that God was sending them 160 boxcars of manna. You know those cars, what do we call them? This is American. Container things. 160 of those every day, and 1,080 tank cars of water. I guess we'd call them tankers. But anyhow, now, you see, you never thought of that, did you? Neither did I. God was faithful. They had been disobedient. God didn't give up on them. God never gives up on us. Isn't that great? He didn't give up on them. He loved them. He cared for them. He's faithful. He provides. Psalms 147:9 says he provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. Isn't that wonderful? This is our God. This is our God who is so faithful. Israel today, after Holocaust, after dispersion, there it is, that little nation, so small. I was going to look up to see how big it was and I didn't have time. There it is, surrounded by all those Arabs and by conflict, and God is faithful. There they are. What about the covenant, the promise that God made with King David? Well, it was bigger than David and Solomon and everybody else because it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise that God made to David, he said, I will establish your line forever. God gave to King David's line and his, whatever you call it, he gave the Lord Jesus Christ, King, Lord of Lords, forever. I will make your throne firm through all generations. Sin would be punished, yes, but God promised this. I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. This is to David and all his descendants. Well, way back in Jeremiah, you know what? Way back there, God promised a new promise. He promised that there would be a new promise that he would make with us that would draw us into a relationship with him. A promise where sins would be completely wiped out, forgiven, remembered no more. And that's the new promise we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is firm, final, secure. This is faithful. This is his promise that brings us into his family. We are there safe and secure forever and ever. The Lord Jesus fulfilled all the old covenant promises. The New Testament doesn't wipe out the old. It fulfills the old. Isn't that great? And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who fulfills all those promises God made. And his promise to us now. He died as a ransom. He paid the price for our sins, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could come into his family, have this relationship with God. That's what his covenants were all about, making a contract, an agreement, where we could have a relationship with him. And here it is. This is what 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 says, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, according to God's promise. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, all according to the scriptures. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that just clinched all of God's promises and for us in the past and now and forevermore. Our sins are forgiven, wiped away to be remembered no more. If you read Acts chapter 13 and verses 32 to 39, it's a great history thing, and it explains that God's promises that were made in times past were all fulfilled but when he raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. That's great. Everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is forgiven. Now we can rest on that. Everyone. Have you got things in your life that you cannot forgive yourself for? Now, I think that's part of my son David's problem. And I have said to him, David, God forgives. But you see, I don't think David believes it. God forgives. And those things that we feel guilty about, that we think, oh no, God forgives. He is faithful. And we are made innocent in God's eyes. I change, he changes not. The Christ can never die. His love, not mine, the resting place. His truth, not mine, the tie. It's him we rest on. It's him that's faithful. It's him that is always there for us. His love has given us this forgiveness, wiped everything out. We are innocent in God's eyes and we are his child forever. Today. Well, today, for you, not one of God's promises is failing. Not one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ is faithful. His love never fails. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Now, I heard an interesting word some time ago. As someone said that politicians speak a lot of gobbledygook. Look it up in the dictionary. Well, it's pretentious language. Well, I'd agree. They do speak a lot of gobbledygook. Empty promises made in long, involved sentences using big words and purposely made hard to understand. Well, but you know what else it said in the dictionary, and this is a scream. It said, their language is imitative of a turkey's call. And that's why it's called gobbledygook. But anyhow, because turkeys gobble. Well, anyhow, well, we certainly can't believe them, can we? We can't. They certainly don't keep their promises. Well, who can you believe? God. God is faithful, keeps his promises, always there for you, the answer to your every need. D.L. Moody said this, trust in yourself and you'll be doomed to disappointment. Yes. Turn to your friends and they'll die. Or move to another country or state or leave you. Trust in your money and you may have it taken from you. Very, very true. Trust in your reputation, and if you don't blow it, someone else will. You can count on that. Trust in all your wisdom. Whoops. Well, that's not very much. All the experience you've gained over the years. When you get old, they just think you're senile. Oh. Well, that's not fair, is it? All that experience. Oh, well. And your dignity and credibility is called senility. That is not fair. But trust in God. He is our faithful, unchangeable friend, our Father. And we will never, ever be confounded. We'll never be confused. We'll never be bewildered. We'll never be disappointed. He is faithful. And as we trust in him, we're trusting on his trustworthiness, not on ourselves. Now look, my favourite verse, or one of my millions of favourite verses, is Psalm 63 and verse 8. I stay close to you, your right hand upholds me. So I'm not trusting in me staying close to him, I'm trusting in his hand holding me, and it's a hand that never fails. Let me no more my comfort draw from my frail grasp of thee. In this alone rejoice with all, thy mighty grasp of me. That's where we're trusting. You know what? Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 says that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. And I've put tears in the margin of my voice, of that verse there, because I remember the many times that I am faithless, but he remains faithful. But I found another great verse, Romans chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. Even when some do not have faith, their lack of faith will not nullify God's faithfulness. Now, I'm hanging on to that for my David. You hang it on to it for whoever you're praying for. Even when they don't have faith, their faithlessness doesn't make any difference to God's faithfulness. Keep on praying for that one. God is faithful. Well, oh, here I am, hanging out the washing the other day. This is where I thought of something else too. You see, at the edge of the compost heap is a little clump of forget-me-nots. And as I hang out the washing, I remember those forget-me-nots. The compost heap, sometimes I feel I'm in a pretty big of a mess, a compost heap. But I remember the forget-me-nots. And this is what I want you to remember today. Remember God's great faithfulness. Forget him not. If you're fearful today, it's because you've forgotten his great faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful and fair. Now, I came across this verse in Scripture too, and I'm glad we had it, because sometimes I thought, God is not fair. I mean, you know, everybody else is all right, but God is not fair. He is fair. He is faithful in his justice, in his fairness. Everything that God does is right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He does what is right and faithful. We can rest secure on his fairness and on his faithfulness. He knows what he's doing. Don't quarrel with him. Deuteronomy verse 32 and 4 says this: Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock, unmovable. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Fix your mind on your faithful God. Trust in him and you will have peace. Remember Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. They that wait upon the Lord... No. Oh, gracious. Just a minute. Oh, help. Anyhow, you believe me. Trust in the Lord and he will give you perfect peace. Perfect peace. Not panic. If you're panicking, well, you haven't got peace. And if you're panicking, you are not trusting in the Lord. He is faithful. What's he doing for us today? Well, he's faithful in his love for you today. He's faithful in his gift of peace for you today. You can have it if you trust in him. He is faithful in his plans for you today. In everything you do and plan to do, trust him and he'll guide you. He is faithful in his presence with you today. He is here with you today. Luke is not here today. God is with you. He is with you today. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. He is faithful in his presence with you today. Hebrews 13:5. He is faithful in his protection of you today. The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Now, Satan is very busy and he never lets up, but God is faithful. He will protect you from the evil one today. He did yesterday. He will do it today. He will do it tomorrow. He is faithful in his preservation of us. Now, Jean Rowe, I said to her once, "Dear, you look good. You're getting older, but you look good. You just look good. You must be in good pickle sauce because you are really pickled well." You know those pickled people that they have in jars? Well, I was thinking, God preserves us, and it's not in a pickling sauce or whatever. But sometimes it is when we're in a pickle that we realise just how wonderfully God preserves us, isn't it? The Lord is faithful. He's going to preserve us. This is what Jude 24 says. He's going to preserve us. Today, tomorrow, right into eternity, tells us he is able to keep us falling and present us without fault. innocent before his glorious presence. He is faithful in his pardon for us today. 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When you fail, failure is not final. Go to him. He forgives you, cleanses you from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. He'll pick us up, brush us off, and we'll start all over again. He is faithful in his provision for us. Well, we knew, oh boy, it's good sometimes, well, I think it's good all the time, not to have much, because then you really see how God is looking after you. He is faithful in his provision for us. Paul assures us in Philippians that God will meet all our needs according to his great riches in Christ Jesus. We can face all things today in his strength, we are told, can't we? Face everything. In fact, his strength is going to be made perfect in our weakness. Being made perfect, that means coming to its full strength in the middle of our weakness. What's your need today? God will supply it. His provision for us is bigger than the ocean that we're thinking about it. And we just dip in with a little thimble or a bucket, as Marion said. But his grace and provision is as big as that ocean. The ocean sufficient to fill a thimble? Of course it is. God is sufficient to meet all our needs. He is there for us. He is the answer to all our needs. Once I was feeling really defeated. Just recently, something really tossed me. And I was really shattered. I was devastated. Anyhow, and you know what I did? I took Philippians 4:13 and I placed my situation in this. I can face da-da-da-da through Christ who gives me strength. I can face da-da-da-da-da. It might be that person who is very hard to deal with. It might be that situation, whatever it is. I can face that da-da-da-da-da through the strength that Christ gives me because he is faithful. Oh dear, have I got time to tell you about this? I found this, you know, and I think it was in the Reader's Digest. Anyhow, I don't really read that much, but anyhow, I do write down what I read. The flies in England do not have hairs on their legs, but the flies in Switzerland do. Now, would that be to keep them warm or what? I don't know. But what it said to me is this. God provides all our needs, even hairs on our legs. But he does. Now, look, I don't know how scientists and things can look at creation and not see God's faithfulness, be it hairs on flies' legs or what. God is faithful. He provides all our needs. Isn't that wonderful? Remember, God is faithful. Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 10 and verses 9 and 23, that we can come with confidence into God's presence. Why? Because he is faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ opened the way for us to come right into God's presence with our every need. Sometimes it's just an SOS prayer, isn't it? You might be looking for a parking spot. Mightn't be all that important, other people mightn't think, but you might be looking for something and you stand up an SOS prayer. I saw the lady playing the piano and a fly was bothering her and I thought, I must pray that that fly go. Anyhow, we can send up those SOS prayers, can't we? God is there, always there, faithful, waiting for us to come into his presence with our every need. He is always there for us. And now that fly's come to me. Oh well. He who promised is faithful. Isn't that wonderful? He is faithful in his prayer answers. His answers might be yes, no or wait. But we know that the answer will be best and fair. In his faithfulness, he will give us the answer that is for our good and for his glory. He is faithful in his purposes. You know, sometimes he conceals his purposes. Why? So that we'll rest on his promises. on his great promises. If we knew what he was doing, we wouldn't have to trust, would we? We can trust on his promises. Because of sin in this world, we do suffer. We do. We're not exempt from it. But it's in those times when we don't really know what God is doing that we can rest on his faithfulness. Look, remember this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it, not be crushed, not be crumpled. He will provide a way for you. He knows your load limit. Now, I've got to tell you this really fast. I went to a nursery at Dural. There was a weeping cherry tree. And I'm not surprised it was weeping because on one of its branches it had a rock tied onto it. That's what the nursery man had done. And then I worked out why. You see, that weeping cherry tree, one branch had decided to go that way. And for a weeping cherry tree, your branch has got to go that way. And this one branch wouldn't go that way. So the nursery man tied a rock onto it. You know, that taught me heaps of lessons. God knows what he's doing. That burden that might be tied onto you, he is shaping you. It's for your good. And you are being perfected into God's glory. Now, the sad part of this story is I went back to that nursery, and you know what? That branch was broken. The nursery man had left the branch, the rock on, too long. Our God never does that. Never, ever, ever. He knows our load limit. He will not leave that burden on any longer than necessary. Okay. Oh, it helps. We have... Okay. He is working for good. He is transforming us into his image. He is testing us, refining us. He is training us so that we'll bear more fruit, like it says in John 15, verses 2 and 8. You look at that. That is wonderful. God knows what he's doing. He is working for our good. He is working for his glory. Well, quickly, forever. We have seen God's promises. They never fail. God is always there. His love never fails. He is the answer to our every need. He has been yesterday, he is today, and he will be tomorrow, forever and ever and ever. God's promises for tomorrow, not one will fail. Yesterday he helped me. Today I praise his name because I know tomorrow he will help me just the same. Fear not tomorrow. God is already there. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow, and that is our faithful, unchanging God. Our future is as bright as his promises, and we can trust in them. He has promised eternal life to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That day when we leave this world is just a passage through. How can anyone face death or even the possibility of it today? Without God, I do not know. He has promised to sanctify us and to present us blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. He has promised, and it will happen. He has promised that he has prepared a place in heaven for us. And when I sing that Amazing Grace and I come to that verse, it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, I just want to cry because I think of my Karen who is already there. You think of your loved ones who are already there. They're there. That's wonderful. And one day we're going to be with them. That is wonderful. He's prepared a place for us there. But you have got to make the choice whether you really want to be there. And the only way to be there is by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised that when we see him, we'll be like him. Wow. He has promised, though, eternal damnation for those who do not believe. God is faithful. He has promised that he will reign in victory, King of kings, Lord of lords. Listen to the Messiah this Christmas time. King of kings, Lord of lords. He's going to reign over all the earth. And who will be with him? His faithful followers. Those who were faithless like us, but who remained trusting in his faithfulness. Okay, and we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. When at times we were so faithless, but we always hung on and trusted in his great hold on us. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. He is always there. He is here with us today. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is the answer to our every need. Our wonderful, wonderful, faithful, faithful God. God is faithful. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, how we praise you for your great faithfulness. We praise you that you are the same. We can rest in you. We can trust in you, secure, today and forever. I just pray, Lord, that not one lady here will go away without trusting in you. In our Saviour's name, amen. Well, here we are on our way home again. Well, it's been great to be with you. Thank you for your love and your friendship and your fellowship. Thank you for what you've shared. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for all the blessing that you have been to me and to Marion, to all of us. Well, I've called this little summary New Image. I've got a brand new dress for my son's wedding. He's being married in about 5 weeks' time. And the brand name is New Image. I've just bought it down the street in Rivo. That's short for Riverston. But I'm really thrilled with it. And I have great hopes for this dress. And my hopes will be fulfilled or distilled when I look in that mirror. It'll show me what I look like, but it won't show me what I am like. And I'm glad. Because sometimes I don't want anybody to see what I'm really like. I quite accidentally hung a ceramic plaque I was given next to a very ornate mirror in our lounge room. And the other day I just happened to glance in that mirror and then glance at the plaque and I got quite a shock. On the plaque it quotes Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The mirror showed me what I looked like, but the mirror of God's word will show me what I am like. Two looking glasses through the looking glass. And these glasses challenge me about what God intends me to be. What does he intend me to be like? Like his son, doesn't he? This is what the verse in the plaque says to me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Well, we've looked in the mirror of God's word. I wonder what we've found. Are we like that? We've looked at God's word and we've seen God's image. We've seen what he is like. It's just been a poor reflection because we can't really take in it all in one glimpse, but one day we're going to see him as he really is, face to face. Can you imagine that? 1 Corinthians 13:12 tells us that. But before that, it tells us a lot in that chapter about what love really is and what it really isn't. The reflection we've seen of God has lifted us right up, hasn't it? As we've seen all he is and all that he's done for us. Well, what are we going to do now? We've got two mirrors. We've got the looking glass on the wall, and we've got the looking glass in His Word. And I wonder what we're going to see and what we're going to do about what we see. God has a great purpose for our lives, and that's to transform us into the image of His Son. You know, I have a perfume bottle at home, and it was given to me. It's very beautiful shape and everything, and I thought, there's a catch here, because I shook it, no noise, and then I took out the little applicator, and there's no perfume on it. I thought, oh, this is very strange. But a year later, having regarded this perfume bottle on my dressing table, one day I went like this and broke it in half. And it's not broken. It was supposed to pull apart. I just didn't know. And in the bottom half is this beautiful fragrance. And it reminded me of those verses that said that God, that the Lord Jesus in us is a treasure in earthen vessels. He's the fragrance inside of us. His beauty is in us. Quite often, you know, it's when we're broken, perhaps, that fragrance comes out. But He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be transformed into the image of His Son, the beauty of the Lord Jesus in us. In Genesis, we're told that God made us in His image, but we rebelled. Adam and Eve rebelled, and we all rebelled, and we've been born into sin. We've taken on the image of Satan and sin, and that's really sad. But God has remade us in His image when we were reborn into His family. He sent His Son to die to take away that sin and to give us a brand new life, a new image. We've been reborn into God's family. Now, having been reborn, which is that once for all thing, now comes the transformation of being renewed into the family likeness. Colossians 3 and 10, as Marian referred to, tells us how this renewal takes place. It's through the looking glass of His Word. That's where we've got to look. That's how we'll get to know Christ better, we'll get to know ourselves better, and we'll become more and more like the Lord Jesus. It's going to require a lot of adjustments, cutting off here and titivating there, a lot of adjustments. In fact, verse 10 in Colossians 3 tells us that we've got to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its Creator, new image. Well, Romans 12 verses 1 sums up the whole weekend, I think. You listen to this. Therefore, I urge you, sisters, in view of God's mercy, and we've looked at that, haven't we, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then we will be fulfilling God's good, pleasing and perfect will. And what is that good, pleasing and perfect will? To become like His Son. The renewing of our mind is the work of the Holy Spirit. As we plunge into God's Word, the Holy Spirit will do His work. We'll get to know the Lord better in His Word, and we'll apply that Word to our lives. It's a process, and as we do that, we'll become a new person. Yes, the moment we became a Christian, we were born again, but now we are blossoming. Now we are blossoming into a new image. Our hearts are right with God, but our lives still wear a lot of the old garments, don't they? So let's review God's image. Let's view our image, the old image and the new image and the smudged image, and let's preview the perfect image. When we view our image, it's like looking through the two glasses. So from Colossians 3 and 5, it says that there'll be things that we should put off from our old image and things that we should put on from our new image. And there'll be things to put right from a smudged image. Let's review God's image. Now, and there's a lady beetle. Whoops, yeah. Let's review God's image. Now, these are the glimpses that we've seen over the weekend. Psalm 103 verses 1 and 2. It tells us to do this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This psalm is a beautiful psalm. You read it at home. As it goes on, the psalm gives us a reflection of what we've seen God is for us and in us. God is great. Listen to this. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. That's verse 19. God is love. Listen to this. He redeems me from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. Verse 4. God is faithful. We've seen that. Listen to this. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. That's verse 17. And verse 5, he satisfies my desires with good things. He is faithful. And God is patient. Listen to verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Isn't that wonderful? So we've looked at God, haven't we, and his image. And we saw through his love and his sacrifice that he gave when he gave his son, that we can become his child. Are you a child of God? Look into the looking glass, the one on the mirror and the one in his word. You've had it spelled out very clearly. Are you a child of God? His love and mercy wants to lift us up out of the pit of despair and crown us with his righteousness. Give us his righteousness. His love and forgiveness wants to remove all our sins and give us new life in Christ. His love and faithfulness wants to be all that he can be for us now, right through eternity. He remains the same. And his love and power wants to empower our lives, change our weakness into strength, our sadness into joy, our tragedy into triumph, and he can. Well, he's there. We've seen all his beauty this weekend, haven't we? Or glimpses of it. What do we see, though, as we look at our own image in the looking glass? Is his beauty seen in me? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity, O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Well, we've got to, let's view our image from Colossians 3, and we see that in order for the Lord's beauty to be seen in us, there are things to be put off. We are his child, that's right, but we've got some of those old garments that just have to be thrown off. We've got vices to put off and we've got virtues to put on. Remember, ladies, beauty's only skin deep. So some people think that putting on the really nice garments of a Christian makes you a Christian, but it doesn't. Beauty is only skin deep. The heart has got to be right. And it's in the heart that this all starts, because it's the beauty of Jesus in us that's going to come out. The Holy Spirit is there and he will reveal to us things that need to be peeled off so that Christ's beauty can be seen. There'll be self-centred sins to be peeled off, the things that were part of what were our life when Satan controlled our life. But now that we're a Christian, Satan doesn't control our life, the Lord does. We've got to let him. Well, the first five sins, they're really yucky. And I'm sure you'd shake your head and think, oh, they wouldn't be in Christians. These are the sensual sins. But then when you look at verse 8 and 9, you find the social sins and you think, oh, wow, that hits home. These have got to be peeled off. The sensual sins, sexual immorality, loose living, impurity. You know, that can be dirty minds too, our minds. Lust, evil desires and greed. Yes, well, they're shocking, especially the first four, but they can be in our hearts even. Without us doing them, our mind can take us to where our legs never did. So they've got to be peeled off. And the TV and books and this and that and that and this just keep on feeding these old things, this old nature, this old image. But what about that last one, greed? That covetousness. The sin of always wanting more. Always wanting more, never being satisfied. This wanting can easily take first place in our life and become an idol. If there's something in your life today that's become an idol because you want it so badly, it has to be peeled off because God has to have first place in our life. Well, what about the next list? They're the social sins, and we can often compromise with these in our own lives and the lives of others. What about anger? We can say, oh, yeah. Rage, malice. Well, what are they? They sound pretty hefty words, but you know what they really are? They're bad attitudes. Ever had a bad attitude to someone? Anger, rage, malice. Really in your heart, wanting that lady to get her just desserts. Well, I think we've all been there, haven't we? What about slander, insults, filthy language? Well, they're pretty hefty too. But what about tongue troubles? We all get into trouble with our tongue, don't we? And we just need so much to come and confess it to the Lord and ask Him to put a seal on our lips that we won't sin against Him. And what about lies? Well, when a Christian lies, even if it's a white lie, they're really cooperating with Satan. Put that off. Now, having discarded all these things, and perhaps the Lord is talking to you about something in your life which isn't in this list, but needs to be put off. Now, we mustn't walk around naked. We put all this off, and now Colossians gives us a list of things to put on. You know, the Christian life is not static, it's growing. And so we're being renewed from the inside out. When you become a Christian, it's going to mean a radical change in your lifestyle, and this is what's going to show. And so we put on this new image. These are the virtues, and they require a selfless spirit, that love that only God can give, which His Holy Spirit has poured into our heart. In fact, love binds all these virtues up. And if there wasn't God's love poured out in our hearts, we couldn't put on these things because it needs real love, divine love, to have these things. The Holy Spirit has poured God's love, His nature into our hearts. Here's the things to put on. Compassion. That's love showing itself in mercy, reaching out to the needs of others. Kindness. That's love being gracious in all its dealings with others, always wanting the best for them. Humility. That's real love, willing to take the lower place. A love that is willing to serve others. Gentleness, that's love. Patience, that's love shown in being able to care slowly. Have you got anybody in your life you have to care slowly for? Long-suffering, someone who really taxes your love. Forgiveness, that's God's love shown when we forgive others as He forgave us. A love of forgiveness which does not hold any grudges. Our new image is being renewed daily into Christ's image. Well, ladies, you can't go to the cupboard and say you've got nothing to wear, because you have. There's all these things that God wants us to put on in our lives as we let His love shine through us. You know what? God provides two things so that our minds can be renewed. The first one, He's provided peace. And the second one, we've come back to it again, His Word. And it's through His peace ruling in our hearts and minds that we'll be renewed and transformed into God's image. And it's through His Word that we'll reflect on the Lord Jesus and then reflect the Lord Jesus. Let His peace rule in your heart today. It's there, let it rule. By being anxious about nothing, by being thankful for anything, and by being prayerful in everything. Let His peace rule in your heart. It will, if you do those three things. God provides His Word. Well, reflect on the Lord Jesus in His Word. Verse 16 says, we are to let the Word of Christ take its abode in us, dwell in us, feed on His Word, feed on it. We get to know the Lord through His Word, and the Spirit of God uses that Word as a process of constant renewing. And as we do that, we'll be able to build one another up, encourage one another. Thank you for verses that people have shared with me today. Sometimes we look into His Word, into that looking glass, and we see a smudged image. Well, we've been reminded about that. We get smudges, no doubt about it. And it's in God's Word again that we see where we've got to put things right. And we've been told time and time again that 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, confessing, and He'll forgive us. Now James chapter 1 and verses 22 to 24 warns us to take heed that as we look into the looking glass of His Word, that we don't forget what we see. Because it's like a man looking in the mirror and seeing what's wrong and then going off and doing nothing about it. So as you look into the looking glass of His Word, there will be things that have to be put right. Don't walk away from that looking glass and not do anything about it. Put it right. And don't cover up. Don't make up. Don't put makeup on as you're looking into His Word, and try and cover up the things that are in your life that needs to be put right. You might fool others, you won't fool God, and you won't fool yourself, and it will take its toll. So let us search our hearts and pray this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Or what about Psalm 138 and verses 23 and 24? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I've just got two verses to read. And this is our last one. Let's preview our perfect image. We're never going to be perfect here. Don't have an unreal goal and then be, you know, let Satan come in and make you feel guilty. We will never be perfect here. We were never meant to be perfect here. What is meant for us is that we are being renewed and transformed, a process, into the image of His Son. And every season of our life is going to teach us new parts of this renewing process. But 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 3 tells us that we don't know what we will be, but one day when we see Him, we will be like Him and we'll see Him as He is. We will be perfect. We'll see Him face to face. We'll be perfect. Isn't that wonderful? But in the meantime, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says this, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. We are being transformed, and that is a wonderful, wonderful privilege. The fact that God wanted us to be His child, and now that He wants to take us, the weak people that we are, and make us like His Son. This is a beautiful song, and you might know it. I won't sing it. But I'll finish with this. Lord, I come to Your awesome presence, from the shadows into Your radiance. By the blood I may enter Your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. As we gaze on Your kingly brightness, so our faces display Your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell Your story. Shine on me. Shine on me.